Glass Billiard Hall by Corey D. Miller. Glass Billiard Hall was the place to be on Thursday night near Northside, Omaha, Nebraska. Players, some good, some bad, others exceptional, crowded the hall looking to make a little extra money. It was a well-known fact that in Glass the only color that mattered was green. If you had it, you played, and if you were good, you kept it all night long. George Ray Allen made his way around the hall, stopping briefly to watch a few players before settling on whom he would challenge. He played billiards to make a little extra money so that his children could have what he never could, a college education. Seamus McGuire was looking for a partner to help him run the tables. Seamus used billiards to pay for the little extras while attending university in Lincoln, Nebraska. After about an hour, Seamus noticed someone he'd seen several months before. A tall, dark-skinned Negro dressed well, but not so much to draw attention, made his way through the crowd gathering around the tables. Seamus watched him settle next to a few other Negroes whom he recognized, but had never challenged. George Ray, still checking the room, noticed a white man paying a bit too much attention to him. He wasn't sure what that meant. He leaned to the man to his right. "Aubrey, do you know that white man there?" George Ray tilted his head slightly in the direction of Seamus McGuire. Aubrey casually moved his eyes in the direction of George Ray indicated. "No, I surely don't, but it has been some time since I came to Glass." Aubrey's Creole upbringing accented his speech. Seamus looked away, refocusing his attention on the game. Two Negroes played against two whites. The Negroes owned the table. They were the ones to beat, and this was no secret in Glass. The two men ran the table from the time they entered, easily beating every challenger. Seamus decided that this night would be different. He moved away from the table. If he was going to challenge the two Negroes, he needed to find an exceptional partner. George Ray and Aubrey moved to watch a table near the back of the hall. If you were good, you started at the back and earned your way to the head table. If you were bad and dumb, you started at the head table and ended up in the back, or in the street with nothing left. Aubrey added their names to the chalkboard list, and they settled down to wait. Two whites ran the table for the time being. Aubrey recognized one of the men as the owner of the Jewish bakery, but the other man neither Aubrey nor George Ray knew. Rack after rack, Aubrey and George Ray waited until a red-haired Irishman approached the table. It was the man they saw earlier. "Who's your partner?" The Jewish baker barked at the Irishman. Seamus looked around. His eyes settled on George Ray Allen. George Ray nodded. "That man there." He pointed to George Ray. A sudden stillness surrounded the table. It was a well-established, though unspoken, rule in Glass Billiard Hall that race mixing was not accepted. You partnered with your own kind, or you played alone. Seamus, always one to go against the tide, didn't much care for the rule. He wanted to play and win. He remembered George Ray from several months back. The night Seamus first saw him, George Ray played and beat every man to the head table and kept the table until closing time. True, he hadn't seen George Ray before or since then, but he was confident that George Ray was a shooter. The Jewish baker threw his cue onto the table. "You're not partnering with a nigger. Find another partner." Seamus nudged his hat upward to get a better view of the baker. He responded slowly and deliberately. "I can choose any partner I like, and I choose him." A few tense moments passed without words. Glass, the owner of the hall, rushed to the table. "What's going on back here?" One look told him the answer. Seamus stood next to George Ray, cue stick in hand. Glass never much cared for Negroes, except the ones who could shoot. He made a lot of money off of them. If you were in Glass Billiard Hall, then you were shooting or betting on people, horses, or both. Glass shook his head. He recognized George Ray. That night, several months back, Glass made $2,000 on him in 4 hours. "Glass, you know the rule," the Jewish baker yelled. "He needs a white partner." Glass looked at the two teams. His desire to make money pulled at him hard. He knew who would win and how much he could stand to make this night, especially if McGuire and Allen made it to the head table. Glass turned to face the baker and shouted, "This is my place. You want to play or not?" By now, action at every table had stopped. Everyone waited for the baker's response. His partner whispered something into the baker's ear. The Jewish baker snatched his cue from the table. "Rack 'em." True to form, George Ray did not disappoint. Being skilled in 8-ball, straight pool, and a variety of carom games gave him the advantage over many in Glass Billiard Hall. Tonight, the game was 8-ball. This was his favorite, though 9-ball was gaining his attention. The break belonged to the Jewish baker. The balls caromed across the table. One high ball went down, bottom right. The baker pocketed 2 more high balls before he was done. And he was done. George Ray eyed the table and circled it like a wolf after its prey. The 1-ball fell first. 5-ball went next. George Ray banked the 2-ball into the 3-ball, and the power of his stroke dropped them both. The 4-ball was top right, not far from the pocket. Seamus fidgeted with his pool stick and watched. He thought George Ray might scoot the ball along the rail to set up for the 6-ball to the left of center, but George Ray had a different idea. He called it out. Bank the four into the sixth, bottom left corner. The crowd hushed. Seamus didn't want to watch, but he couldn't look away. George Ray smacked the four ball. It careened into the six ball, and that ball went straight into the pocket, setting him up for a straight shot on the four ball into the bottom left corner pocket. Smack! Four ball went down. Seven ball remained. It rested in the middle of the table, not far from the eight ball. Off the bank, seven ball cross side. No one dared move. If he hit the seven ball just right, he'd set himself up for the eight. George Ray pulled back his cue and released it forward with a hint of a pop at the end. Cue ball bounced lightly off the rail, tapped the seven ball in the side pocket, and stopped short of the eight ball. The Jewish baker paced the length of the table. His partner stood watching, shook his head. Eight ball side pocket. George Ray cut the ball into the side. The cue ball nudged the rail, rolled a bit, and stopped before the bottom left pocket. The crowd roared. It was the best play they'd seen all night. George Ray crossed the floor to Seamus. Seamus grinned, shook his hand, and formally introduced himself. Aubrey, who'd placed his bet on George Ray and Seamus, went to the back to collect his winnings. When he returned, he gave George Ray his share. "You've got to be the best player around here," Seamus said as he, George, and Aubrey waited for the next players. "I do all right." "Well, all right, we'll be beating the head table tonight." Seamus proved his skill in subsequent challenges and earned George Ray's respect at the table. It wasn't long before the two men found themselves at the head table, their skill unmatched. After all the games were shot, the final winners, Seamus and George Ray, lay their cues onto the table. Glass brought over their winnings, grinning ear to ear. "You too." Glass shook his fingers at Seamus and George Ray, smiling. "Just make sure you come back soon, understand?" Meanwhile, the crowd trickled out of the billiard hall into a dark, cool night. Seamus, George Ray, Aubrey, and a few others lagged behind. "How about a game?" George Ray asked Seamus as he retrieved his cue stick. "Why not?" He picked up his stick. Aubrey racked, slid them into place on the table, and then stepped back to watch. Crack! The ball scattered from the power of George Ray's break. No balls fell. Seamus stepped up to the table and surveyed the playing field. He settled on low balls, taking the 1, 3, 4, and 5 ball before yielding the table. George Ray circled it. The corner of his mouth gave away the beginning of a grin, and he glanced at Seamus. Seamus studied the table. He nodded and grinned back. The game ended with a fabulous three-rail bank shot, sending the eight ball soaring down the table to the right corner pocket. Seamus and George Ray shook hands. "Who the hell do you think you are?" The Jewish baker thundered toward George Ray and Seamus, cue in hand, with his partner in step behind him. The stick came down hard at Seamus's head. George Ray snatched his cue stick from the table and blocked the baker's death blow. Glass ran to the head table, followed by two of his guards. "Out! Out! I'm not having this in my place. Settle it outside. Get out!" The guards pushed the men outside into the street. George Ray, Aubrey, and Seamus, surrounded by the Jewish baker, his partner, and several other white men, had no way out. Glass watched from inside his billiard hall. "Go get my gun." Before Glass and his guards made their way outside, two police officers arrived. Glass, thinking better of the situation, remained inside the hall and listened. "What's this now?" the officer inquired, looking at the three men surrounded by the crowd. "I don't much like what I'm seeing here." The officer's Irish brogue was strong. "Well now, why don't you all just find your way home? It's late, and we all have things to be doing tomorrow." The crowd dispersed, leaving Seamus, George Ray, and Aubrey alone in front of the billiard hall. "You boys need to be getting on your way, don't you think?" It was more of a statement than a question, and the officer directed it at George Ray and Aubrey. "We can't be having any trouble around here. Move along." Seamus shook George Ray's and Aubrey's hands, saying, "Till next time, then." George Ray nodded at Seamus, Aubrey smiled, and the two men walked away. Seamus turned toward home, stopping at the corner to catch the streetcar as it lumbered past. After a few hours, all that could be heard outside was the occasional howl of the wind. Glass looked through the open door toward Coons Park. Lately, he noticed a definite change in the near north side and Coons Place neighborhoods. He finished cleaning up the billiard hall and stored his shotgun in its usual spot, behind the bar. He turned off the lights, stepped into the cool night, turned back to lock the door. The blast hit him hard, and the force knocked him through the door. Blood poured from his shoulder. "Consider this a warning." The man's voice was low and gruff. Glass struggled to catch his breath. He lay on the threshold of the door, raised and turned his head slightly, with great effort, to see the man. The shooter's foot pushed Glass' head to the floor. White fabric smacked the man's ankles as a gust of wind caught his hem. Glass closed his eyes. After several minutes, the man removed his foot. Glass heard muffled voices, but couldn't get up. Blood pooled around his cheek and mouth. When he no longer heard footsteps, he made an effort to roll to his side. He pushed himself up against the doorframe. The street lamps didn't provide much light this corner of the block. No one would venture his direction until morning. Glass gripped his shoulder to stop the blood. He used his legs to shimmy his back up the doorframe and stood. Searing pain shot through his body. He gasped for air and stumbled back into the billiard hall. He tripped over a pool stick, lost his balance, and his head smacked the floor. The next morning, Glass woke in a hospital bed. Police questioned him, but he knew better than to respond. His billiard hall was safe. That's all that mattered to Glass. News of Glass's run-in with the white sheet spread quickly in the near North Side neighborhood. Negro mothers brought their children inside when the sun set. Negro men avoided walking alone after dark. This was the first incident, but every Negro living in the near North Side neighborhood knew it wouldn't be the last. It happened before in other towns. Omaha, Nebraska wouldn't be different. George Ray sat in a rocker on his porch late in the evening. Seamus McGuire sat on a porch swing overlooking his large front yard in the Coons Park Place neighborhood. Neither man knew what trouble the white sheets would bring into their neighborhoods, but both men were ready for the fight. George Ray took a long sip from his lemonade, stood, and stepped inside his small house. Seamus took a long draw from his pipe, stood, and went inside to say goodnight to his family. The streetlights flickered. The usual crowd of whites gathered outside the billiard hall. A sign on the door read, "No Negroes." Glass opened the door. Men shuffled in. One stopped. Turned to look Glass in the eye. "You made the right decision. How's your shoulder?" Glass, caught off guard, dismissed him, saying, "You here to play, better chat." The man found a place near the bar. Glass walked behind the bar. He picked up a few glasses and cleaned them. Something about that man was familiar. He overheard the man ask for a cigarette from the guy next to him. The voice. He knew that voice. Glass grabbed his shotgun and shot the man in the back. Everything stopped. The man's body hit the floor with a thud. Shotgun in hand, Glass walked back around the bar. He bent down close to the man's ear and asked, "How's your shoulder?"